Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm Joe Gill. It's brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service, right off I-94 in Avon. This week, highlighting more coverage from Minn Ag Expo, checking in with the Minnesota corn growers and finding out what they are doing from the Minnesota Corn Promotion and Research Council, seeing what they're doing. I guess the one word that really came to my mind is innovation. And we talked to one of their members who has been a past chair and has been very, very involved.
Sure, I'm Brandon Fass from Mountain Lake, and I'm on the Minnesota Corn Research and Promotion Council, and I was chairman of the council last year, actually.
You know, we're looking at innovation, new uses for corn, and you guys always have exciting news, it seems.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Minnesota Corn Research and Promotion Council utilizes Minnesota corn farmers' checkoff dollars for more uses on corn, and a lot of the things that we do is trying to get more corn grind. And yeah, we always think about ethanol, which is very, very important, but we start looking into some of the projects like Center for Sustainable Polymers through the University of Minnesota, which is plastic. So we know several things, a lot of things that we utilize on a day-to-day basis are made out of plastic. So that's very important to increase corn grind. And once we invested in the Center for Sustainable Polymers, there was actually another product that spun off of there, and it's a product and a technology called Lacryl Technologies. Well, that Lacryl technology actually replaces the petroleum-based catalyst with a corn-based catalyst. And I know that's not something that a normal person would think about is the catalyst in that goes into a lot of products, but them products that need a catalyst for, let's say, bonding or even fluidity, let's call it, would be like paint, would be toothpaste, and there's a million different things that they go into. So this Lacryl technology for this catalyst could be made out of corn. And just that technology there could create $10 billion worth of funds that come from the corn that's ground to go into these products. And that's really exciting because we always want to expand as our product, as corn farmers, or us as the council, to keep consistent corn grind. As electric vehicle talks happen, we want to be able to broaden our horizons on what our corn can be used for. We're producing more corn every year, and of course there's more people that need to be out there, but as our stockpiles grow, we have to expand our horizons. So that's really exciting. And also another space that we invested in was ClearFlame technology. Now, ClearFlame technology is, you can take a standard diesel motor, an over-the-road truck motor, and it's actually a conversion kit that runs on E85. Now, that's something that there's four trucks running out there from BJ Johnson, which is the CEO of ClearFlame technology. They have brick and mortar, which is based out of Chicago. And them four trucks that are out there are just logging miles and seeing what they could give for information for the EPA on getting it through. And those trucks, you could actually take all the emissions equipment off of it because your tailpipe emissions, let's call it, is virtually zero. So that's something that we struggle with as farmers or as over-the-road trucking companies is a lot of the emissions things that are there, which cost us a lot of money and just from a maintenance standpoint. So without having any of the emissions parts on these trucks and being able to burn E85 fuel is really exciting.
How often do you get, what would you say, results or feedback from those vehicles? Do you have to sacrifice anything, like, for example, mileage or anything like that? Are they finding that early on or everything to par?
They're finding that early on. All those little quirks they're finding early on. And there is going to be a little bit of mileage that you're going to sacrifice. But when you're having zero emissions from a environmental side of it, I don't want to say it's no big deal that you're losing mileage because, of course, you're going to have to put more gallons in it. But typically, your E85 price is going to be less expensive than what your standard diesel fuel prices. And we've all seen at the pumps, and all experienced it, is diesel prices are quite a bit higher than what gasoline prices are. And then you look at the E85 side of it, there's times where E85 can be a dollar less per gallon. Now you look at a trucking companies that may have 10,000 trucks on the road. Even though they're losing a little bit of the mileage standpoint, their cost per mile, which they're looking at, is going to be significantly less. And they don't have to roll their trucks over quite as fast. As we're seeing a lot of these trucking companies, they're getting rid of these trucks before the warranty is up, or shortly after warranty, taking their hit and moving on and trying to get new trucks, because they're so afraid of the, if they go off a warranty, what the emissions are going to cost them. So if they don't have to worry about that emissions side of it, and they can just keep on running their trucks quite a bit longer than what they would run them before, that's quite a bit of cost savings right there.
You know, that polymer technology, just to rewind a little bit, that really fits that whole narrative that we see right now, that whole environmentally friendly and such. Boy, that fits it to a T.
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you an example just from a plastic side of it, beyond a farmer's equipment side of it, as we have plastic sides on our combines and our hoods on our tractors or whatnot. But from a larger perspective, like Mattel, Mattel that makes Legos is extremely interested in this, as they want to have a renewable product that's there, and they want to have a lot safer product than what a petroleum-based product is, like Legos. So once these companies naturally adapt a corn-based product that's a renewable product, they're not going to go back to a petroleum-based product, especially if your cost is going to be cheaper and they know it's going to be readily available. It just makes sense for them, and obviously our investment in it from the council side of it makes sense as you're looking at a big picture.
You know, it would be nicer if they could make them softer so when I step on them, it feels better.
Yeah, that's right.
You talk about some of the funding, and it's at the U of M, correct? Is that where corn grower dollars are going from the council?
Correct, yeah. We work with the U of M not only on projects like this, but we also work on different farming-related products. Let's say it's a nitrogen. Nitrogen is a big issue for all growers, or especially in the state of Minnesota, with being the land of 10,000 lakes. So we have the U of M researchers with the our innovation grant process, that they can come to us and they can look at nitrogen efficiency, they can look at P&K, they can look at some irrigation, whatever they come up with that they may think that we'd be interested in. And they go through a grant process, and then we decide if we would like to fund them or not. And then throughout the years, they give us kickback. And frankly, a lot of times when these projects come about from the researchers, usually they stay on with multiple projects as they feel us out, we feel them out, and they say, hey, we can cater to something else that may come up. So we have really good relationship with the researchers, and farmers can actually do the same thing too. Farmers can don't have to be on the same level as a researcher from the U of M, but a farmer can say, hey, I want to test this out. And they could go through the same type of process and do a multi-year testing, or even a single-year testing on any type of nutrient management, and there's a large list of things that they could do.
Is that where the innovation grant comes into play? Or?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So it's exciting where all of our dollars go to, and it's all to make corn farmers more sustainable, all to be environmentally conscious, of course. And us as farmers, we're not going to just go dump $300 worth of fertilizer on there just because obviously it's very expensive. We want to put the least amount on as possible, yet tries to raise the most crop, the biggest crop. And we're raising more and more bushels every year with less and less fertilizer. And frankly, we owe that to the researchers that have stuck their neck out and come up with some of these ideas. So then our co-ops or our crop consultants or retailers can look at those results and be able to go back to the farmers and say, the research shows that you can put less nitrogen on, or put it on, split apply it, or put it on in different ways, and yet raise the same amount of bushels or more bushels than you were, let's say, 10 years ago. So that's always the goal of the council, is to look at the environment and look at making the farmers most sustainable.
Brandon Fast joining us from Mountain Lake, and a past chair with the Minnesota Corn, a research and promotion council, and a chance to visit with us regarding what they're doing, the research, the innovation, and bottom line at the end of the day, bringing more value to corn farmers all around the state. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report, brought to you by Mid-Soda Trailer Sales and Service.